Good morning, and welcome to Holy Family. Our gathering song is Come to the River.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you, and I bless all of you who are at home and praying with us, and thank you for allowing the church to come alive in your homes as we begin this day, praying that the Holy Spirit will give us the gifts that we most need to make this a holy day. Let us pause for a moment of prayer. And our Mass today is dedicated for fathers. It's part of the Father's Day novena. Today is the feast of St. Peter and St. Paul. It's a very big day in Rome because Peter and Paul are buried in Rome. So it's a great festival. It's a public holiday in Italy. And we celebrate the founding of the church and the beginning of the proclamation of the gospel in the persons of Peter and Paul. You are sent to heal the contrite, Lord, have mercy. You came to call sinners, Christ, have mercy. You plead for us at the right hand of the Father, Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. I might mention one more thing before our prayer. Father Joel O'Neill, our wonderful brother who has been with us now for some time, returned to Ireland today. And therefore, these weekday masses I will celebrate on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Father Dennis will do Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. God of life, who on the solemnity of the apostles, Peter and Paul, give us the noble and holy joy of this day. Grant, we pray, that your church may in all things follow the teaching given to us in the living word. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Let us listen now to God's word.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. In those days, King Herod laid hands upon some members of the church to harm them. He had James, the brother of John, killed by the sword, and when he saw that this was pleasing to the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. It was the feast of unleavened bread. He had him taken into custody and put in prison under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. He intended to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter thus was being kept in prison, but prayer by the church was fervently being made to God on his behalf. On the very night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter, secured by double chains, was sleeping between two soldiers, while outside the door, guards kept watch on the prison. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the cell. He tapped Peter on the side and awakened him, saying, "Get up quickly." The chains fell from his wrists. The angel said to him, "Put on your belt and your sandals." He did so. Then he said to him, "Put on your cloak and follow me." So he followed him out, not realizing that what was happening through the angel was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first guard, then the second, and came to the iron gate leading out to the city, which opened for them by itself. They emerged and made their way down an alley, and suddenly the angel left him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The angel of the Lord will rescue those who fear him. The angel of the Lord will rescue those who fear him. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. The angel of the Lord will rescue them. Fear him. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us together extol his name. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. The angel of the Lord will rescue those who fear him. Look to him that you may be radiant with joy, and your faces may not blush with shame. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress, he saved him. The angel of the Lord will rescue those who fear him. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Blessed the man who takes refuge in him. The angel of the Lord will rescue those who fear him. A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. I, Paul, am already being poured out like a libation, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have completed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance. The Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the proclamation might be completed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil threat and will bring me safe to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. One brief comment about this gospel, which is of interest to us. Caesarea Philippi is a very remote place, but very scenic and very beautiful, in the northern region of Galilee, near the border of the Lebanon. And most pilgrims that go to the Holy Land don't journey all the way up to Caesarea Philippi. Today it's called Banias, named after the god Pan, Panias. And in this incident, if you go there today, you can see there are many etchings on the rocks, rock formations dedicated to Greek gods, one of them Pan. And so when Jesus speaks to Peter and said, "On this rock," he is making a reference to not on the other rocks that are here, but on this one, "I will build my church." It's rather interesting juxtaposition between the other gods and this rock and this church. It's kind of interesting thing from this gospel reading. Peter and Paul are both buried in Rome. They were martyred in Rome. And Peter is buried underneath St. Peter, or the St. Peter's Basilica. St. Paul is buried in the Basilica of St. Paul, which is outside the walls of Rome. And I think most pilgrims to Rome will go to three of the major basilicas. They go to Mary Major and John Lateran and St. Peter's, but they don't journey usually out to see the Basilica of St. Paul, which, rather interestingly, is the second largest church after St. Peter's. It's the second largest church in Rome. Peter is from Galilee. He was a fisherman. We are told in all three synoptic gospels how Jesus cures his mother-in-law. Therefore, Peter was married. The first pope was married. We don't know much about his marriage or his children or his wife, but clearly he was married. Paul is a Pharisee, a devout Jew, schooled in the Pharisaic traditions of the Jews, and he comes from Tarsus, which is in present-day Turkey. He's very proud of the fact that he's Paul of Tarsus, a Roman citizen. Both personalities are very strong. I mean, Peter is a very intense fellow, and if you follow him through the four Gospels, you'll find out that he has a kind of a controlling personality. He will not allow Jesus to wash his feet at the Last Supper. He said, "No, no, I will wash your feet." When he comes to the Transfiguration, he said, "It's good for us to be here. Now, why don't we build three tents here?" Jesus said, "Be quiet, just listen." So Peter is a fairly strong personality. No less is Paul. Paul is filled with fire and fury to bring Christians to Jerusalem for execution. And on his way to Damascus, he goes through this extraordinary epiphany. He goes through his conversion and becomes a follower of Christ. And he brings the same intensity into his mission of preaching the gospel. Rather interestingly, Peter and Paul appear not to get along very well. If you read St. Paul's letter to the Colossians,
you'll find out that in chapter 2 there, when Peter comes to Antioch, where Paul is, he thought Peter was out of order. He said, I faced down the first pope. I faced him down, and I told him that he was wrong. Clearly, there's a tension in some respects during the early apostolic times between Peter and Paul. Now, what's interesting about this is they are the chosen instruments of God. Peter, to speak to the Jews who are followers of Christ, and Paul, to speak to the Gentile world. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, what's interesting about this for us is that we tend to make judgments about the one who proclaims the word. And sometimes the one who proclaims the word is very imperfect. And Peter and Paul are very imperfect, and yet they are extraordinary in their inspiring dedication to Christ. They will prove that ultimately in their martyrdom. Both are martyred in Rome. Therefore, when we listen to the word of God proclaimed, it's not meant to teach us about the one proclaiming the word. It's meant to teach us about ourselves. And sometimes, I suspect if Peter and Paul wanted to be the pastor at Holy Family, they'd struggle with a lot of the folks, because they're very strong and decisive. They're not into a huge amount of consultation. So when you listen to the proclamation of the word of God, or the witness of the word of God, allow it to teach you about yourself. Teach me about myself. But don't make a judgment about the one proclaiming the word, because sometimes the instrument that God uses to proclaim God's word can be very imperfect. And if we are to draw a teaching from Peter and Paul, as we celebrate them today, it will be to listen to the proclamation. However, in Colossians, rather interestingly, even though they have a big difference, Peter and Paul said, Paul says, I gave the hand clasp of friendship because I will not break the koinonia. I won't break the community. Don't break the community. That's the teaching of Peter and Paul. It doesn't matter what happens. Do not break your community. Don't break your family. Don't break the church. Don't exclude people. Even though the instruments are very human, the proclamation of God's word is powerful. So wherever your journey today, whatever conflict you find in your life, whatever difference you have with another, listen to the word of God. God teaches us in moments of imperfection. Then we learn more about ourselves. And when we learn more about ourselves, we will grow in the spiritual life. Amen. Let us pause now for a moment of prayer and offer our petitions. We will gather virtually, but we'll gather. We are a people of faith. And when we pray together, we pray for one another's needs. Not just for my own needs, but I pray for the needs of each person who belongs to our praying community this morning. Special prayer for Father Joe, who is finding his way back to his homeland. I think he's looking forward to reuniting with his family, which is wonderful, and he has been a great blessing to us. So we pray that he will travel safely and joyfully. We pray to the Lord. For all those who are struggling, We have a lot of people overcome by boredom. They lost meaning in their lives. We have elderly people in homes, rest convalescent homes. They're lonely. They haven't had bonds with their families for a long time. Father Niall, I haven't seen Father Niall for 3 months. There are many people like that. We should keep a special prayer for those who are lonely, those who feel neglected. Gather into your prayer. People who feel left out, maybe in our families, feel left out by the church, neglected by the church. And all the special needs and wants which we have unspoken within our hearts. We make these prayers through Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness, we have this bread to offer, which earth has given and human hands have made. It will become for us the bread of life. And blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness, we have this wine to offer, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. It will become our spiritual drink. My sisters and brothers, pray that our sacrifice may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. God of life, you call us to be one family in faith, to understand one another's imperfections, to see the presence of God in humanity, the humanity within our families, within our relationships, within our communities, within our nation, and within our words. Somehow God speaks to us in that manner. Collect, we pray, O Lord, the imperfect world into a witness of your infinite love among us. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. By your providence, you have blessed the apostles Peter and Paul. Peter, foremost in confessing the faith, Paul, its constant and outstanding preacher. Peter, who established the early church from the remnant of Israel. Paul, master and teacher of the Gentiles. And so each in a different way gathered together in one family of Christ and revered together throughout the world, sharing one martyr's crown. And therefore, with all the angels and saints, we sing our unending hymn of praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Let your Spirit come upon these gifts like the dewfall, that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time of his betrayal, as he entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the cup,
and once again gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Therefore, as we celebrate this memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the cup of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and to minister to you. Humbly we pray that, sharing of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world. Make us grow in the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, and Jose, our Bishop, and all women and men who serve you. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, the blessed apostles, and all who have pleased her throughout the ages, we may be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Let us pray now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, from every evil, and grant us peace in our day. In your mercy, keep us free from sin, and protect us from all distress, as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, "I leave you peace. My peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and grant us the peace and unity of your kingdom, where you live forever and ever. The peace of the Lord be with you always." Let us pause for a moment of prayer and ask for the peace of Christ, to be reconciled this day, to be at peace with the world, to find peace within ourselves, even in places of conflict, even when we differ, to find a certain calmness, the peace of Christ within us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, grant us peace. And this is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and happy are we called to the supper of the Lamb.
Angelicus, peace.
For all of our community who are at home and praying with us, we'd like to invite you to draw into your prayer a moment of spiritual communion. Invite Jesus Christ into your life. Allow the blessing of God's presence to be the gift of the moment in a spiritual communion. Become one with Christ. Let us pray now. Grant us, O Lord, who have been renewed by this sacrament, so to live in the church that, persevering in the breaking of the bread and belonging to the Eucharist, and in the teaching of the apostles, we may be one in heart and in soul, and made steadfast in your love, we make this prayer through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go now in peace to love and to serve the Lord and one another.
Thanks be to God. Our closing song, Praise to the Lord.